Hi, friends, and welcome, for better or for worse, to today's episode of X Gifted. This one might be a little bit heavy because I'm putting a bit of a different spin on things than I have over the past few weeks. I'm going to be talking about the duality of inferiority and superiority that so many of us experience. We deal with dead-end jobs or being unable to hold a job at all due to the overwhelming pressure while watching old classmates who weren't even in the gifted program now get graduate degrees and good jobs thinking that it was supposed to be us. Or maybe you do have a degree and a great job, but you're struggling because you never feel good enough and you feel the constant threat of being crushed under the pressure. It's like wherever we are in life, we tend to feel like we're either far too good or not nearly good enough, and we often manage to hold onto both of these feelings simultaneously. So it all started when we were kids, right? And as a kid, before school even started, even before they started testing you on every single thing, all that really matters is that you're good at playing, talking and walking, good at getting along well with others, good at moving your body and being active. And I don't know if you've noticed, but stereotypically, those aren't the areas in which gifted kids usually excel, which means that before we were ever gifted, many of us started behind. So when we got into school, we were already starting from a place of inferiority, and most of the rest of us learned fast enough from the other kids that were different in some way. In kindergarten, academics weren't really the focus yet. It's all about the social aspect, right? And of course, recess. So we see how we're not the strongest in those areas, and we may even actually be some of the weakest, and the other kids make sure that we know it too. So before we ever learn that we're gifted, we already know that we're different, and we're already internalizing that difference and shaping it into feelings of inferiority. We're starting off with this repeated message that we are the worst at the only thing that really matters. But then comes second or third or fourth, whatever, grade, and you get evaluated and put into the gifted program where they let you in on a little secret. The game is changing, and actually, you're the best at the only thing that really matters. Academics start to be the main focus of school, and that is your jam. So in theory, that should be a great boost to your self-esteem, right? But the problem is that they never address that label of inferiority that was already there, caused or at least worsened by that separation between you and your peers. They just slap a new label on you saying, no, you're superior, actually. But the old feelings are still there too. So we keep them both and they both grow with us, which is why an ex-gifted person somehow is able to believe both that they're an absolute garbage person and yet also are still able to hold a general air of superiority over everyone and, you know, can go around online complaining about people's grammar and spelling and kids these days using all kinds of ridiculous slang. I can't be the only recovering prescriptivist, right? So if there's any part of you actively holding on to this idea that you're inferior because you have a harder time making friends or because you have less endurance or muscle mass or otherwise don't like the way your body looks or functions, or even if you've added to the list in your teen or adult years, something like maybe executive dysfunction, things like these, all of these are not moral failings. I keep coming back to that, and this is why. We have these weird ideas of what is supposed to be a virtue, and many of them are actively harming our self-image and making us feel inferior, which actually makes all of these things even harder for us to improve upon in the future. Now, I mean, of course, your beliefs may be different than mine, and that's fine. My view of morality says that it's basically just how you treat people and other living things, including yourself. If your morality says that no, productivity actually is a moral virtue, then that's your business. I just recommend that you ask yourself, especially if it's something that you struggle with and makes you feel bad, ask yourself why? What does it mean for productivity to be a matter of morality? And really dig deep with it and, you know, roll that question around your brain. So I think a lot of us are quick to confess feelings of inferiority. I think some still struggle to understand the superiority. Because like I said, a lot of us feel like we're garbage people, and after years of bullying for being different, internalizing that inferiority is no real surprise. But honestly, I think these two feelings generally go hand in hand, and I'm not alone on that. Dr. Alfred Adler, who coined the term superiority complex, actually used it to describe a condition where a person covered their perceived shortcomings with an air of superiority. The definition for superiority complex may be up for debate, but to be clear, that's not really what we're talking about. I'm referring to feelings of superiority and inferiority that may not be extensive enough to comprise a complex, but that are enough to affect our self-image on a daily basis. So, how does superiority come into play for gifted kids? Well, first off, superiority is entirely distinct from confidence and self-esteem, which means you don't have to actually feel good about yourself in order to have it. But let's think back to those days when you were a kid or a teenager. What did you think of the popular kids? The ones who were good at sports or making friends? What do you think of them now? I know I still have a vague negative impression of many of the kids I went to elementary school with, and that was pushing 30 years ago. Some of that may stem from being bullied, and okay, that's fair, but how do you feel about people that you meet now as an adult who just remind you of those kids? They are not to blame for your being bullied, even if they do seem similar to the people who mistreated you back then. Is it true that you haven't been looking down on people that you felt you could classify as a dumb jock or a vapid girl, even while they were acting neutral toward you or even friendly? Is it true that you never went through a phase where you scoffed and said, actually, it's should have, not should of? If so, then please let me know your secrets, because that's something I still have to actively work on. So we started feeling like we were better than those other kids because we were smarter than they were. And additionally, a lot of us were really struggling socially, and there's that old trope that the child in teenage years are for the popular kids and the athletes, but that our skills, what skills, test taking? That our skills mean that adulthood will be our time to shine, and for a lot of us that didn't happen. So we spent years feeling inferior, but with the promise of future superiority, then we learned that we can't even keep up with the dishes. Now, I'm an unemployed grad school dropout, so how am I better than anybody? Moral superiority? Raw intellect is as good a metric as any, right? Well, how's that working for you? And here's the hard part. Intellect, like all these other things we've talked about, it is also morally neutral. Being smarter than someone literally doesn't contribute to your worth or make you better than they are, except maybe when it comes to academic performance. But if you're like me and your intellect was all you needed for exceptional academic performance, you probably never learned that those other morally neutral skills that we actually need to succeed, like perseverance, productivity, basic executive functioning, if you never learned those, then you're never going to be able to succeed. But thanks to social media, we're easily able to see who is succeeding and inevitably end up finding ourselves on the unfavorable end of a comparison to some of the most average students from our class. Many people who, as kids, weren't as smart as I was are objectively succeeding professionally far beyond what I'm doing. And here's a hint. This is what I'm doing. But that's not what was supposed to happen. I was most likely to succeed. God, I sound like such an ass right now. I guess being smart doesn't make you a good person. But to be fair, history could have told us that. Another pretty obvious problem with treating intelligence as a virtue is that, unlike knowledge, which can be endlessly expanded, intelligence refers to an inborn trait, which is mostly fixed, which means two problems. First off, fixating on intelligence goes against the whole growth mindset thing, but I'll talk more about that in a future episode. Secondly, when you start to talk about people being better or worse based on traits that they're just born with, you're referring to genetic superiority, which I don't know about you, but isn't a concept I'm really down with. And without naming names, the people who do hold the idea that IQ is an inherited trait proving superiority of certain people over others are not a good company to keep. Intelligence is a cool trait to have, but it does not contribute to making you a better person. That's something you have to do yourself. And it's not the same as knowledge. That's something you have to earn yourself. Intelligence just makes it easier for you to gain new knowledge than it would otherwise be for you, but focus, motivation, and perseverance are needed for that as well, which means someone with average intelligence can still easily compete with you when it comes to gaining knowledge with sufficient executive function skills and a proper education. So, on their own, the inferiority and superiority will wax and wane. I started to get better with one, but then it would make me backslide on the other, which may seem at first to be inevitable. If you feel better about yourself, then of course you're going to feel relatively worse about everyone else, right? Well, only if you assume that it's necessary to ever consider your own value relative to other people. Inferiority and superiority often go together precisely because they come from the same place. They seem like they're based on some objective understanding of how to rank people, but they actually come from the idea that it's proper to rank people in the first place. And no, this is not some diatribe against competition. A race or a spelling bee, whatever, that's fine. But there's no reason for us to attempt to rank everyone just based on general humanity. So, what can we do? Well, I already covered it for inferiority, and it's actually mostly the same for feelings of superiority. Stop treating these random traits as moral successes or failures, but there is more. And it may seem like I'm picking on my own audience and just being mean, because, like, why would I take people who I've already acknowledged believe that they are pieces of shit and tell them that the one thing that they believe sets them apart and gives them value and is the best thing about them is actually not something that contributes to their worth and that it doesn't make them a good person? Well, there is a reason. It's not better to make positive comparisons to others than negative comparisons, because making positive comparisons actually reinforces the negative comparisons too by normalizing making these comparisons at all. If positive comparisons are good and normal and rational, then why would negative comparisons be any different? What if you stopped ranking your worth against other people altogether? So if your worth doesn't come from your skill set, then where does it come from? Go ahead and think about it. Just ask yourself where a person's worth does come from, if it's not just a quantified list of their abilities like a D&D character sheet. If you ask me, a person's worth comes from their being a person. All people have intrinsic value, and once you start to believe that in general, you can eventually start to believe it about yourself. And that's when you can really start to accept yourself as no better, no worse. Just good enough. Okay, so this was a little bit longer than what we normally do. It was maybe a little bit harsher than what we normally do. I hope that you're all doing well. I hope that this resonated with people in a way that actually made them feel hopeful and not just despair. But switching gears for just a moment before I go, if you are interested in trying to make a quantified list of your abilities similar to a D&D character sheet so that you can work on leveling up in real life, not for your self-worth, but just for fun and personal growth, then head to xgifted.com/roleplan. That's exgifted.com/ROLEPLAN. Links in the show notes. I'm looking for a few people to help me out with testing the new project that I've been working on. Signing up gets you a free printable for the alpha draft of my brand new role planner to test out. And if you submit the feedback, you'll also end up getting half off the final product once I'm ready to release it. The role planning game is a system for tracking and challenging your growth in 7 abilities, and fair warning, intelligence isn't one of them, because I'm focusing only on things in our power to actually improve. So the mind ability is all about expanding your knowledge through skills like reading, coursework, or puzzles. Now, the draft isn't done yet, but sign up ASAP because I'll remind you over the next couple episodes, but once I send it out, I won't be taking on any more testers. And one very, very last thing. I have been really enjoying making this podcast, and I hope that you have too. This episode especially was a labor of love. I've recorded it like 3 times now due to technical difficulties. And I really want to do more. Upgrade equipment, and by that I mean I currently record on my cell phone. I'm right now in my car. And it would be nice to maybe have a standalone mic. I would love to do more frequent episodes, maybe even have on some guests or add a video option, and to do that, I need help from you. I've included a donation link in the show notes. It's at ko-fi.com/reneliza, or click the link. So if you could buy me a coffee, as they say, and toss $3 my way, not only will I be eternally grateful, but also you will have doubled the entire income X-Gifted and its parent website, nerdishmom.com, have made to date. If you're feeling particularly generous, consider a monthly $3 donation. I'm setting a goal of 4 monthly donations because that will allow me to break even with the cost of podcast hosting. And at this time, anything that goes beyond that will go right back into making the show better for you. Thanks so much for listening, and join me again in 2 weeks for the next episode of X Gifted to learn if you might be twice exceptional. Bye!